And everyone else, take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We have been looking at the miracles that John records for us in his gospel. And we've talked about how these are miracles with a message. They are signs of significance. And they're all pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And every message, we learn something new about him. And I'm trying to help you remember the best I can. The things that we need to remember all start with the letter D, okay? First miracle was Jesus turning the water into wine at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. And we saw that Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointment. Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointment. Pay attention because I'm going to quiz you in just a little bit here. If I remember, all right. Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointment. And then we saw that Jesus healed a nobleman's son. And we found out that Jesus is the answer to man's doubt. And Jesus brought this man to faith, but then he continued to build his faith. And that's what Jesus wants to do for all of us. Jesus is God's answer to man's doubt. And then the third miracle was when Jesus healed the paralytic beside the pool of Bethesda. And we saw that Jesus is God's answer to man's disability. Man has a disability problem. It's called sin. And it's interesting because of the paralytic being in that condition for such a long period of time, he had no strength. But Jesus Christ came into the world while we were without strength and died for us. So Jesus is the answer to man's sin problem. We need the strength to be godly, and he provides that strength. So Jesus is the answer to man's disability. And then the next miracle we looked at was the miracle of feeding the multitudes, 5,000 men plus women and children. And we saw that Jesus is God's answer to man's desire. He is the bread of life. And all the things that we can desire are really only found in him. And then last week we looked at there's really at least three miracles when Jesus walked on the water. There was the fact that he walked on the water, which was a miracle. Then he stepped into the boat and he calmed the stormy wind and seas. That was another miracle. And then John records something interesting in his gospel. He said as soon as Jesus got in the ship, they were to the other side. So time and space meant nothing at that particular moment. And so we looked at this and we saw that Jesus is God's answer to man's despair. And then today we are going to look at Jesus healing a blind man, and we'll discover that Jesus is God's answer to man's darkness. And then there's one left, one miracle left. There's two signs, but we're going to look at one more, and then I'm not sure if we'll look at the last one. The last one has to deal with the last part of John. But in John chapter 11, Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And we'll find out that Jesus is God's answer to, can you guess what that one might be? Death. Jesus is God's answer to man's death. So first of all, let's see how well you can do. At the marriage in Cana of Galilee, Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointment. All right, and then the healing of the nobleman's son. Jesus is God's answer to man's doubt. And then the healing of the man, the paralytic, beside the pool. We found out Jesus is God's answer to man's disability. Okay, and then feeding the 5,000 men plus the women and children. Jesus is God's answer to man's desire. And then the series of miracles of Jesus walking on the water, calming the sea, and having the disciples in the ship with him reach the other side. Immediately, he found out that Jesus is God's answer to man's despair. You did pretty good. Pretty good. You sounded a little hesitant on some of those. We'll repeat them again for you next week. All right, how's that? Jesus is God's answer to man's darkness. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the man, blind man, with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So love that. He went and washed, came his way, seeing. Jesus was the answer to his darkness, his problem of blindness. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit today to guide us into the truths of this passage, and we would see insights about Jesus today. Lord, we would also know how we can see the unsaved world and how we can pray for them and relate to them when they're in a world of darkness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to realize this morning is that spiritual blindness makes beggars out of all of us. Now, keep your Bibles open this morning, but here's a man in verse 1, it tells us that he was blind. Now, remember that this man was physically blind, but he is an illustration of a man without the Lord, a man without Jesus Christ, because John begins his gospel in chapter 1 and verse 4 by speaking of Jesus. And it says of him, In him, that is in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of man. I want you to get that. That's a key verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. What happened when Adam sinned? Simply this. He became minus God in his spirit. Now, Adam was made perfect when God created him. And Adam had God living inside of him, residing in him. He was the temple in which God could live. But when God said to Adam, In the day that you sin, you will die. We have to realize what he was talking about. In the day that you sin, you will surely die. And when Adam sinned, he did die. He did die, but how did he die? He didn't die physically at that moment. I believe that the death process physically began, but Adam lived hundreds of years after he partook of the forbidden fruit and sinned. So he didn't die physically at that moment, but he did die spiritually. And what happened is that the life went out of Adam, the spiritual life. Remember John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, the light of men. Now think about it. When the Lord went out then, the life went out. And when the life went out, the light went out. And when the light went out, the life went out. They were there together. And you see, in him, in Jesus is life, and the life was the light of men. Now, every man that is a son of Adam has the nature of Adam, and so he's minus God. He's minus God in his life. He's minus God in life. He has no life. And so for man is born spiritually blind. This is true of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who is without the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians tells us that they are depraved, they are dead, and they are darkened. That's their condition. And so this man here, he's depraved, he's dead, he's darkened. He doesn't have the Lord. You don't have to be a big sinner to be minus God. Adam just ate of a little fruit, but because he was disobedient, the life was out of him, and he's minus God. We are sons of Adam. In that sense, we all die. So Jesus says, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that is without me, they are blind. They have no light. What did he tell Nicodemus back in the third chapter of John? In John chapter 3 and verse 3, he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he might see physical things, but he can't see or he can't understand spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 talks about those that have not come to Christ as having their understanding darkened. They don't have understanding. They don't have eyes to see. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, there's more than one kind of blindness. There's the blindness of the eyes, as this man had in John chapter 9, but there's also a blindness of the heart. And so this man was blind in that area as well. He didn't know who Jesus was. We're going to see that. And we're going to see how Jesus reveals himself to him and gives him spiritual sight and life in the process. But I want you to notice that this man is blind, but something else, this man was born blind, right? The disciples, I think they ask a foolish question here. They said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, I suppose that today, you know, through drugs and stuff, parent does can have an effect on a child that they maybe could be born blind. But how did this man sin while he was still in the womb? To me, it's kind of a foolish question. I don't know if they believed in reincarnation or maybe the baby sinned in his mother's womb or some kind of crazy thing like that. But Jesus corrects their thinking, and he said that this man is not in this condition. He's not here because he sinned from birth. Now, there was an example, remember, with the healing of the man by the pool, where Jesus told him, go and sin no more. So his sin did have some effect on his physical condition, but not this man. Not this man. Now, do you know that we are all born blind? Spiritually speaking, the Bible says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, that doesn't mean that we were conceived out of wedlock. What it says, in sin my mother conceived me, it means that I was a sinner in conception. I inherited the sin nature. I was born that way. Every person born in the world is a son of Adam and born with that sin nature. Even that precious little granddaughter that you have, believe it or not, she has a sin nature. And she needs, when she reaches the age of accountability, she needs to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior for herself. Now, listen to this verse in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. It speaks of those who are lost, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that's mankind. We're all like that. Thank God you're not like that anymore, but you were. So this man was blind. He was born blind. And not only that, we go down to verse 8 and we find out something else about him. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged. He was blind, he was born blind, and he became a beggar. And so again, he represents every person who is without the Lord Jesus Christ. What did God create man to be? He created him to be a king, created him to have dominion over everything. They created him to rule and to subdue. Adam and Eve were king and queen of planet Earth. Mankind had complete dominion. But here, this man has no dominion. In fact, he is just the opposite. He's a spiritual beggar. He is a spiritual beggar. He is a blind beggar. And you know, maybe somebody here today and you've got a lot of money hid away somewhere and say, I may be blind, but I'm certainly no beggar. I'm pretty rich. That's not the kind of beggar we're talking about. We're talking about those who are spiritually bankrupt. Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. What a picture. That is the picture of mankind who is lost, mankind without Jesus Christ. And so put it down, first of all, that spiritual blindness makes beggars out of all of us. Second thing that we want to see today is the blind need more than sight to see. Now, begin with verse 5. Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And Jesus said an interesting thing one day. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because the night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And by the way, this the real significance of this miracle is just this. It is that Jesus is the light of the world. That's what it points to. But when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And so, go wash. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now here's a man who's blind, and Jesus, the light of the world, was in his presence. He's there in the sunshine, this blind man. He's there in the light. The Son of Righteousness is in his presence, but he still cannot see. Why can't he see? Because the blind need more than light to see. A blind man may not see the light. If we had a blind man walk in here today, he would be in darkness. He would not see light, but he would be foolish to deny the light just because he couldn't see it, simply because he couldn't see it. And so the scriptures tell us that man needs more than light. He needs sight in order to see. Now listen very carefully, because some of you have loved ones that are lost and you're praying for them and you want to see them come to salvation and come to know Jesus Christ. There's a great truth here. There can be no sight without light, but there can be light without sight. Now, I visited Carlsbad Caverns. Any of you ever been there? Or how about maybe not there, but another cave, maybe even, what's the cave here? Jewel Cave? Crystal Cave. You know when you go in there and you're in the middle of the cave and they turn off the lights? You remember that? Done that? I mean, it is pitch black. You cannot see anything. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. It is so dark that you think if you had a knife, you could slice it. And if you have 20/20 vision, it wouldn't matter. You couldn't see a thing because there's no sight without light. Right? Would you agree with that? There's no sight without light. But there can be light without sight. I mean, a blind man can be standing outside at high noon and still not see. Pastor, what's the point? The point is what I've been trying to tell you, that men need more than light in order to be saved. They can't be saved without the light. They need the sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're in darkness, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So what has happened is Satan has put the light out. He blinds the heart. He blinds the mind. That's what the scripture says. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Therefore, it takes more than light. It takes more than preaching to get people saved. I used to think as a young preacher that all I had to do to get people saved was to preach the truth to them and just tell them how to be saved. Just turn on the light and they would get saved. But it doesn't matter how much light there is if the person is blind and he can't see. You know what I'm saying? It takes more than light, it takes sight. A person who is blind cannot see the light, no matter how strong, no matter how strong the light is, or no matter how pure the light is. It takes more than preaching to get people saved. And that's the reason that I'll say things like, only the Holy Spirit can impart truth. Only the Holy Spirit can help people see and understand. All I do is speak a lot of words. Sometimes they fall on deaf ears. Church, this is the reason why we must be a praying church. This is the reason why you have to pray for your unsaved friends and loved ones. Just witnessing that to them and telling them the truth and preaching at them is not going to be enough. I wish it was, but this is the truth. We are dependent upon God to open blinded eyes so that they can see and receive the truth. Are you with me today? Are you understanding what I'm saying? It takes more than light, it takes sight. And I used to think if I could just come up with the cleverest arguments, if I could just come up with the best way of presenting the gospel, there wouldn't be anybody that would turn away from it. Everybody would get saved. But I realize that that's not the case. I realize unless the Holy Spirit does a work and opens those blinded eyes, it doesn't matter how clever my arguments are. It doesn't matter what I say. I'm not going to be able to argue anybody into the kingdom of heaven. Nobody can be educated into the kingdom of heaven. Now, please understand, I'm not against letting your light shine. I'm not against you giving your testimony and preaching and sharing and witnessing. But remember this, there is another dimension. This man was blind and there he was face to face with the light of the world, but he couldn't see. He didn't know who Jesus was. Now, I want you to notice what the Lord did. Look at verses 6 and 7. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You say, Pastor, you read that before. I know. But there is something remarkable here. And when he had thus spoken, he said, "You know, I'm the light of the world." Now there's light. But Jesus is going to do something else. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made this clay spittle. Dirt and clay and spit. And he put this on the man's eyes. He anointed the man's eyes with this concoction, this clay. And then he says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He's obedient. He goes his way, therefore, and is washed, and he came back seeing. I thought about this. I thought, Lord, why did you put that in there? What does this mean? What does the clay represent? I think it represented the same thing that those six water pots represented, if you remember, for the when Jesus turned the water into wine at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Remember, they were earthen pots. They were earthen water pots. Clay in Scripture speaks of humanity. How did God make man? He took dust. He took dirt. He made man out of the dust of the earth. And so this clay, this dirt, speaks of man's weakness. It speaks of man's inability. And the clay put on his eyes, the clay that is on his eyes would seal out the light. It's interesting to me. Jesus is going to heal this man. But he wants him to be able to see. But before he does that, he puts something that would hinder his vision. He puts clay. Makes it harder to see if that's possible for a blind man. But he's trying to teach us here that our humanity seals out the light. That's what's wrong with him. It's his human nature. It's what caused him to be blind. And then our Lord, I think with a twinkle in his eye, said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." What does that mean? In that language, translated, Scripture tells us that it means sent, which is by interpretation sent, S-E-N-T. And I began to think, why did our Lord say that? And I think it's very important that we understand this. Why did the Lord go tell him to wash in a pool that is called sent? Why did the Holy Spirit put that into our Bibles? Is there any significance to that? I went back to chapter 8 and began to read. And by the way, in chapter 8, Jesus is talking about being the light of the world. Go back to chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now the Jews wouldn't have accepted this, and so look at verse 23. And he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. That is, I belong in heaven. My origin is heaven." He's speaking of his identification with God the Father. But now go down to verse 26. He says, "I have many things to say and to judge of you." Now underscore this. He that, what's that word? Sent. "He that sent me is true." Now go to verse 29. "And he that sent me is with me." He that sent me is with me. Now go over to chapter 9 and verse 4. Jesus said before he healed this man, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." And then verse 7, where he says, "Go and wash in the pool called sent." You know what Jesus is teaching? He's teaching this. He's teaching that this pool represents him. This pool named sent represents him because he was sent from the Father. He's the one that was sent from heaven. In other words, Jesus is the answer to man's blindness. Jesus is the answer to man's darkness. And your humanity blocks out the light. This dirt, this dust, this clay, this spittle, this concoction blocks out the light. But he said, "I have been sent from above. And I have been sent to be light for man's darkness." And Jesus is the only one that can take away this darkness. He is the heaven-sent Son of God. And so we need to understand that by nature, we are spiritually blind. We need to understand that we need more than light to see, we need sight. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can give sight. The third thing this morning is that opened eyes, or eyes once opened, can see the light, but they must learn to see. And man's greatest need is to confess and admit his need. Now go to verse 35 there of chapter 9 for just a moment. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that is talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Open eyes must learn to see. Now what had happened to this man was that once he was healed, the Pharisees went after him. And because he had allowed Jesus to heal him, they were going to put him out of the synagogue. And they began to ask him all kinds of questions. And he really infuriated them because they said, Who is this that healed you? What were his credentials? Who ordained him? Now, they didn't say it this way, but today they would say, What school did he go to? What seminary did he graduate from? And the man looked at them, and I love this. He said, I don't know what you're asking. I can't answer those questions, but I'll tell you one thing. Once I was blind, but now I see. That's great. That's a great testimony. Once I was blind, but now I see. Well, that upset them even more. And they shut him out, but Jesus sought him out. Do you know that religion without Christ is simply a blight? Religion is the blight of the world, but Jesus is the light of the world. Religion without Christ is blight, but Jesus sought this man out, and he begins to do a work in this man. Now he's got his eyes opened. He can see physically, but he's not yet saved. He still doesn't see very well spiritually. But the Lord is enabling him to believe. The Lord is giving him understanding. He's leading him from a non-saving faith to a saving faith. He is believing about Jesus before he's actually trusting on Jesus. Let's look at his testimony, the testimony that he had. Look in verse 25. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Well, that was a pretty good testimony as far as it went. But I mean, if you were to ask me, Pastor, do you know whether Jesus was a sinner or not? If I said, well, I don't know, you wouldn't think very highly of me, and hopefully you wouldn't keep me on as your pastor. But this man, he didn't have a lot of knowledge yet. All he did was say what he knew. He didn't know any more. All he knew was that he had been born blind, and he was a beggar. But Jesus put spit and clay on his eyes, told him to go wash in a pool, which was named Sent, which he did, and now he can see. That's all he knows. He doesn't know anything else about Jesus. He's certainly not a theologian. But you see, his eyes are open, not only physically, but they're beginning to open spiritually. And this is a great illustration of what I've been trying to say, is that it takes more than light to see. It takes sight. And once you get both light and sight, you still have to learn to see. I want you to notice the progression in this man. He's got honest ignorance. Will Rogers said, "A man doesn't show his ignorance by not knowing so much as he does by knowing so much that ain't so." In other words, all this man did was communicate what he did know. By the way, always remember this in your testimony. Don't ever be afraid to give your testimony. Don't ever be afraid to share your faith. And if somebody asks you a question that you don't know, you want to know the answer? I don't know. Just be honest with them. Because I believe this, if you are honest with them, and you don't know the answer and you say, I don't know, when you do say something, they will believe you because you're only telling them what you do know. So they will believe you when you tell them that. So it's a perfect answer. I don't know. He said, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. The Christian with a glowing testimony is more important than a library full of arguments. But they wanted to argue with the man. They said, hey, once I was blind, now I see. They couldn't argue with that. Now, the Holy Spirit guides you into truth. The Holy Spirit does not give you truth. He guides you into truth. The Holy Spirit said, Jesus said that when he's come, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit will bring illumination, will give you light, but you need to learn to see. Again, let me show you this progression with this man. Look at verse 11. He gets healed, and they said to him, in verse 10, they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay. How does he view Jesus here? He views him as a what? A man. Some man did this. His name is Jesus. He made clay. He did it. That's all I know about him. He was a man. Now, they said, was he a sinner? I don't know. Just a man. That's step number one. But now I want you to go and notice something else in verse 17. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a what? Prophet. He's no longer a man. Now he's a prophet, right? He's more than a man. He's a prophet. Now go to verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this were not of God, he could do nothing. You notice the progression? He's seen more and more. First, he's a man. Is he a sinner? I don't know. Then he said he's a prophet. Now he's saying he's a man sent from God. But I want you to notice how the faith completely ripens. Look at verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He hadn't gotten there yet. But he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? What does he believe at this point? He believes he's a man. He believes he's a prophet. He believes he's sent from God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. Now his eyes are open, and it is he that talks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believed. I believe. And he worshiped. You see that the man who had been given sight is now learning to see. He's learning to see. And that's the way people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The way they usually come, there is a progression. But God has to give them light, but then God has to give them sight. He has to open their eyes. The Holy Spirit of God has to give them insight, spiritual insight, but then they begin to grow in knowledge until they come to full faith. Let me give you some scriptures that teach this. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. So you know, when you come to church, be very careful how you hear. We're given truth, We need to hear that truth and act on that truth, or we lose it. If there's no desire for truth, we're not given more truth. If there's no desire for light, Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How does God speak to you? From faith to faith. Here's a man. He says, well, he opened my eyes. That's a little bit of faith. And then he goes from that and he said, he's a prophet. There's a little more faith. And then he goes further than that and he's sent from God. There's more faith. And finally, he comes to full faith and he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. He is who he claimed to be. Once people's eyes are opened, they need to be able to understand. Do you know that I continually pray, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Give me further sight. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't see everything there is to see. I don't see all truth yet. I'm still blinded in some areas, but I believe that God wants to open my eyes to help me see more, to see things more clearly, to understand things better and better. And in Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, if you get up in the morning early, it's kind of gray out there before dawn, and then the sun comes over the horizon, and you see just over the shadows, just a little color. And then as the morning progresses, the shadows are getting longer, shorter. And then as the day progresses, say at high noon, there's no shadows. The Christian life is like that. That's the way God gives us spiritual wisdom. And so we're born beggars. It takes more than light. It takes sight. It takes a miracle. But once God opens our eyes, we have to learn to see. Man's greatest need, therefore, is to confess and admit his need for sight. Now, we're almost done. Go back in that same chapter in verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. That last bit, I think, is referring to the Pharisees, who, when they had heard these words, said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You know the parable, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. And those who claim to be full, Jesus sent away empty or hungry. Those who claim to be righteous went away unforgiven. Those who claim to see remained blind. Man's greatest need is to see his spiritual blindness. And the Bible makes it very clear. Just as light obeyed increases light, light refused becomes darkness. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, that is, when their eyes were opened, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Please remember this. Light obeyed increases light. Light refused increases darkness. And there can be no greater sin than to reject the light. Would you bow your hearts with me this morning? Once a man hears the gospel and his heart is open to the word of God, he does not act upon that light and go from faith to faith until he believes in Jesus Christ. His condemnation is doubled, because not only is he judged for the disease, he's also judged that he refused the cure. In John 3:19-20, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. When God comes to judge the world, I don't think he's going to judge the world primarily by the sin that was committed, but by the light that was rejected. And this miracle shows that Jesus is the light of the world. We are born beggars, but those blind eyes can be opened and will be opened by the grace of God. It's not just turning on the light. The heart, the mind has to be opened and quickened to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once the heart, once the mind is opened and quickened, then we live up to the light that we have. We go stepping in the light till we come to Jesus. Stepping in the light till we come to Jesus. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Savior and come to full faith in him, would you admit this morning that your greatest need is your spiritual blindness? When a man says, "I see," he remains blind. But when he says, "God help me, I'm blind," God gives him open eyes and gives him light. If you want to receive your sight today, just tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm tired of groping around in the darkness. I'm tired of living in the darkness. I want to see. I want to see. I want to see you. Would you open my eyes this morning that I might see?" You say, "Pastor, I don't understand." I know the devil has blinded your eyes, but Jesus came to open those eyes. Say, "Lord, today by faith, I receive my sight. By faith, I believe, and I trust in you today as my Lord and Savior." Then, Christian, there's a message here for you as well. And that is, Lord, as you give light, as you give further light, I'll walk toward that light. I'll step in the light. I'll walk in the light as he is in the light. And you realize today that there's still more things that you can see, still more truth that God wants to teach you, that the Holy Spirit wants to guide you into. If you think you know it all, you're stopped. But if you admit, "Lord, I don't, but I want to see," then he's going to lead you to see greater things. Let's stand. Let's sing this chorus together. "Open my eyes." Open our eyes, Lord. We want